Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting.
Than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience.
With Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hi, my name is Lloyd Lockridge, and I'm the host of a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. In this podcast, I'm going to have people on to tell unusual and sometimes far-fetched stories about their families.
I've heard my whole life that she invented the margarita.
And then we're going to investigate those stories and find out how much of it is true.
He gets a patent 1 month before the Wright brothers. Oh my God.
Please follow and listen to Family Lore, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Sergeant Betsy Brantner Smith, National Police Association, is in the house. So much to talk about today. Good morning, Betsy.
Hey, good morning, Dawn.
Sorry, we're running a little late there this morning, so I apologize. We've had so much breaking and so much going on today. And we want to get to all of it. Just your reaction, if we can start out with this. It's hard to believe in our news cycle of today that 1 month ago today in Pennsylvania, in Butler, we had an assassination attempt of former President Trump. We tragically learned that, in fact, a real hero dad and local fire chief engineer, Corey Comparator, was murdered in that assassination attempt. And then we've learned so much more as far as the fallout. And Betsy, we've been airing all of the different videos and audio that have been released and body cam just showing the local law enforcement their reactions. But just your overall reaction as we think about what happened 1 month ago today.
Well, you know, first I want to say, Dawn, that, you know, 1 month ago today, and a lot of the media is trying to bury this, and yet we're still talking about January 6th.
Yeah.
But moving forward, as a local law enforcement officer, one who has sat in those meetings with the Secret Service, who has been on those types of details, I have such a visceral reaction every time I see new body camera, because I feel the frustration and the anger that those local cops feel, especially the one, who says, I effing told them they needed to have somebody here, they needed to have somebody there. And it really, it sounds like not a failure of the boots on the ground, you know, Secret Service. Obviously, President Trump's immediate team did a great job. But the failure of leadership all the way from the former director on down. And let me just add that we're so grateful, and the National Police Association is grateful, that local law enforcement has been vindicated, because I think we forget that about a month ago, the Secret Service was saying, wow, it was all those guys. It was the Butler and Butler County. And then we were hearing within 24 hours that a police officer, a local police officer, encountered the shooter before he shot and he ran away. We now know that's not true either. So I feel anger, frustration, but also vindication.
Yeah. And so I think it's interesting, just a reminder that you've been part of those conversations and in your career, somebody who has worked at pretty much every level, right? I mean, local law enforcement, working up the ranks, and now as an educator. So you can zoom in and zoom out on this with all of your experience, whether it's local, whether it's national, and then dealing between different agencies, such as a local law enforcement agency, all the way up to the Secret Service or a federal agency. And so what kind of coordination, I guess, you know, my question is, what kind of meetings, communication, coordination should have happened that apparently did not?
Well, absolutely. You know, sometimes we know, you know, 6 months in advance that a president or a vice president, some kind of protectee, a candidate is coming. Sometimes we only have a week or two notice. This was a very short notice, as is typical in campaign rallies. And but those meetings, you know, because remember, it's not just the Secret Service coming from Washington, D.C. They have offices everywhere. They were also getting assistance, they have told us, from other Department of Homeland Security agents. And so these meetings that take place, I mean, they use everything from drone technology to, of course, aerial photographs. And the reason that you bring in local law enforcement, one, is because you need the personnel. But two, they know the ins and outs. They know the people in the area. They know the flora and fauna, if you will, you know, and that fairgrounds was not a difficult place to secure. I think that's one of the reasons I would guess it was chosen, because it's pretty easy to secure that area, but you got to have somebody on each roof. So when a local law enforcement officer is sitting there saying, hey, you guys from the federal government, we think you need to have somebody up here, and they get blown off, that starts a terrible cycle of frustration that obviously carried over into what we saw from the body-worn camera. And thank God we have it.
Yes. You know, and part of this is, you know, and I should say, you are someone, as a 29-year law enforcement veteran, and you train officers from around the world. And so I love hearing this from you and your take on this, and especially I think you said something that even locally in Pennsylvania and in Butler, the community is outraged because they are standing behind their law enforcement officers. And they've been pretty vocal on social media to say, hey, our guys may very well have knocked this guy, this wannabe assassin, maybe forced him to rush his shot. And so now there's this, you know, us and them attitude among, I think, the local community saying, hey, you guys at the federal level, don't throw our guys under the bus because you messed up. I mean, with something like that, just your reaction, first of all, to the community members, what you would say to them, and as far as them really standing behind their local law enforcement.
Absolutely. I love that the community members in the Butler County area have really stood behind their cops. And I've had other media ask me, well, were these guys just some local jamokes, you know, country boy kind of cops? And I'm like, heck no. You need to look at them and their equipment and their training and know about them. These were well-trained, well-prepared police officers. You know, sometimes these regional SWAT teams are much better trained than the larger city SWAT teams. And these were a real bunch of dedicated people. And I love that their community loves them. And I hate that they've had to go through this. But, you know, Don, for the last about 10 years, we have seen this chipping away at federal law enforcement leadership. It started in the Obama administration due to, we didn't call it this 10 years ago, mm-hmm. but diversity, equity, and inclusion, where it was more important that what someone looked like than it was their leadership skills. The boots on the ground cops in the Secret Service and other Department of Homeland Security personnel, generally speaking, are good cops. I've trained a lot of them and continue to do so. But they have leadership issues that are not their fault, but mm-hmm. you can just imagine how frustrating it must be to work for people who are more worried about diversity than they are the end product. Let's remember, 10 years ago, we had a new director of the Secret Service because, you know, there were some bad things happening. And what happened after mm-hmm. she took over? We had all the fence jumping and all of yep. that. And so this is not a one-off. This is a leadership problem, and it needs to be dealt with. I don't know if the Biden administration is ever going to really deal with it.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
How We Met Your Mother is the How I Met Your Mother rewatch podcast with me, Josh Radner, and series co-creator Craig Thomas. Follow How We Met Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I always say to people that it's an insult to women more so than anybody. In other words, when they
you
do this,
right?
And I think you're somebody as an individual in law enforcement, you're somebody, Betsy, you paid your dues, and it's an insult to somebody like you when they hire people who maybe because they're female or because of whatever boxes they check, that suddenly they elevate them to a job that they're actually not ready for.
No, in fact, you know, the Women in Federal Law Enforcement Conference is just ending. I've taught there many times. I've got a bunch of friends there. I know so many badass women in the federal law enforcement. And, of course, this was frustrating to all of us. We were all talking when this whole thing started, you know, like, oh, my God. You know, and I always love to say I was hired to be a cop not because I was a woman, but in spite of. And you know, of course we want women in law enforcement, but we want qualified women, qualified people of all, you know, races, gender, you know, whatever. But you should not be elevated just because, you know, either because of your gender or sexual orientation or any of that, because that's an issue here. And also, you shouldn't be elevated because of whose protective detail you're on. And I think that's one of the problems with Kim Cheadle. You know, she was on Jill Biden's detail, and we've been told that Jill Biden said, hey, she needs to be a part of it. You know, she needs to be the director. That shouldn't happen. Not in, especially, you know, this is law enforcement. This is high-level law enforcement. DEI should have no part of this.
Yeah, amen to that. Yeah, and I should point out that Secret Service, they released that statement. Oh, we're always appreciative because of those body cam videos that they released locally, and some of them from Butler, some of them Pennsylvania State Police. But I'll be curious, you know, they'll bury, like you said, they're going to bury all of this as far as the findings. And then, it does fuel this question of whether or not that 20-year-old really was capable of carrying this out and acted alone. And so you have all of these conspiracy theories. That's not good either.
No, it is. You know, federal law enforcement has taken a real hit in the last, you know, 5 to 6 years, as far as, you know, people questioning their ethics and things like that. And that's why, you know, there really needs to be some changes in leadership. There needs to be some house cleaning so that we can restore these organizations, and so they can do. And it's not just the political, but, you know, the Larry Nassar investigation that was really botched by the FBI. You know, there's so many different cases. And of course, very often when we have these active shooter situations, you know, especially a guy like Thomas Crook, you know, he's the typical, you know, young white male, kind of a loner, et cetera, et cetera. And we're often hearing in these active shooter cases, although not with Thomas Crook, but where they say, oh, yeah, this guy was on a radar, that guy was on a radar. Well, what did you do about it? Nothing. You know, there needs to be some procedural changes there. And we need to restore federal law enforcement, because there are, you know, most of them are super great people and good at their job. Let's give them the leadership that they deserve.
Amen. What's your take as far as looking at the defund the police movement, the fallout from it? And I'd seen this morning there was another article about Kamala Harris and her husband, how they had donated to nonprofits that support defunding the police. Where do you think we are in this country as far as the so-called defund the police movement? Is it officially dead?
I think it's on life support, but we've got to look at what happened this weekend in Ferguson, Missouri. There were protests, inexplicable protests, quite frankly, because of the 10-year anniversary of the death of Michael Brown, who was legally killed by a police officer after he committed a strong-arm robbery, and he was trying to disarm that police officer. And we have an officer right now, Officer Travis Brown, is in the hospital fighting for his life with a traumatic brain injury. He was a fairly new Ferguson police officer, but he'd been with the county for over a decade. His father was a police officer. He is African American, and he joined the Ferguson Police Department to try and make a difference. And he got rushed by protesters and badly injured. There were two more officers injured. And like the chief said, what are we protesting? And, you know, the chief, also black, said, look, we did everything the activists asked us to do. We hired more black police officers. We have body-worn camera. We have implicit bias training, on and on and on and on and on. So the defund the police movement, again, is just this little group of race-baiting activists who want to keep it alive. I think most people just want more cops in their neighborhood and more cops on their police department. But when you look at the policies of Tim Walz and Kamala Harris, and yes, Joe Biden, who is still our president, you look at their, you look at their policies, they are not supporters of law enforcement. They are not supporters of law and order. And the American public has got to stop buying this, you know, remaking of these people. And look at their track records. Tim Walz let the city of Minneapolis burn down. His wife loved the smell of burning tires.
Yeah, that was weird.
And it's just, they're creepy anti-law enforcement, anti-law and order people. And when you throw in the open borders there and all the gangs that are coming up and the fentanyl and the human trafficking, people need to wake up and stop looking at TikTok and learn the real facts.
Yeah, and what's amazing to me when you talk about, Michael Brown and Officer Darren Wilson, I didn't realize until we're coming up on this 10-year anniversary that as recent as 2020, just a few years ago, basically, the prosecutor there spent months trying to review the case with, you know, trying to come up with some charge against Officer Wilson for manslaughter or murder, but then even he dropped that finally. That was just happening in 2020. It's amazing.
Well, exactly. Because he wanted to unseat Cori Bush, the representative there, which he did in the primary, but that was one of his political talking points, if you will. And if you can imagine Darren Wilson, and I don't think most people know this, Darren Wilson's wife was also a police officer. He lost his career. She lost her career. And just like you said, as soon as a few years ago, he was still having to deal with this in a completely justified police shooting because the media, you know, we've all got to go back and remember. And I was talking to some young people in their 20s over the weekend, and they had to literally look up what the Michael Brown shooting was because we were telling them about it. And as they read, they were like, wow, this is crazy. But remember, for example, CNN, all their anchors sitting there, hands up, don't shoot. All of that was a lie. Mm-hmm. The whole thing was a lie. And yet we go back, and this was the beginning of our conversation. This all went back to what? Police leadership. Yeah. That was one of the problems in Ferguson, was weak police leadership, didn't handle the situation properly and let it get away from them. If they'd have told the truth right away, said what happened and said, hey, you know what? You don't get to disarm our cops. So we had to kill this 18-year-old gangbanger, which is what he was.
Yeah.
It's leadership.
Yes. Amen. Well, leadership, which is something that you provide, Sergeant Betsy Brantner Smith, National Police Association, which we always say this is a nonprofit supporting law enforcement officers including such as the officers who've been persecuted here in Philadelphia and across the country. So
absolutely.
We just always want to remind you that you can donate. National Police Association, Betsy Brantner Smith, thank you so much once again.
Thanks, Dawn. I appreciate it. I can't wait until we talk the next time.
Back at you.
Yo, it's Jay Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast. Available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.